Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, and Curse Code and Crown, as well as 3 event podcasts with miniseries releases scheduled at random intervals: Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B. D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, children of the night, to Blood and Syrup, a Vampire the Masquerade live play podcast. I am your host, Count Vlad von Lestat, drinker of blood, keeper of the chronicle, and all around a spooky dude. With Ridley and Everett off on their own adventure, Iris Dunn is in search of answers about her ne'er-do-well brother Iggy's connections to the vampire drug Drac. But first, she must reunite with Emily and get a new lay of the land. Abandon hope, all ye who listen here.
Well, Ridley and Everett have been off making new cab driver friends, meeting old allies, and possibly creating new enemies. Iris, you have found a new home. As always, Emily has pulled through, and while Everett and Ridley go off to deal with other matters, you are heading to your new home base. You've got a new lease on life based on the helpful flesh crafting of some of Azaria Tyrell's compatriots. You've been cleared of the murder of Gordon Stevenson, and are free to rejoin society as your illustrious poet self. That said, you're coming off a harrowing few days. With the assault on Montreal, you hulked out a couple times. You may have killed Everett's friend, the cop. You've been up to some shit. But more importantly, you almost got killed a bunch of times. And between the Inquisition and everything else, it's been a bit of a hairy few days. Which is why when your Uber pulls up outside a beautiful detached duplex in the very ritzy neighborhood of Plateau Mont Royal, one of the nicest places to live, right on the edge of the famous mount itself, Emily breaks into a broad grin, and you can see tears in her eyes as she sprints up to you as you step out of the Uber, and she actually leaps at you and, to the surprise of both of you, kisses you full on the mouth. How do you respond?
I'm frozen for a second, as anyone would be.
Yeah, she immediately, like, it's one of those cinematic moments where she opens her eyes and realizes what she's just done, and immediately kind of like pushes off of you with her one arm and just says, "I am so sorry. That was very unprofessional. And yeah, I'm just very happy to see you. I'm glad you're not dead. I'm sorry. Let's never talk about that again. Okay?"
I say okay. And just to make sure she knows that it's totally okay, I give her like a quick peck on the lips.
She blushes hard. Like it is full red. And she just kind of nods and says, okay then. Well, welcome home. Welcome home. And immediately snaps into like full on assistant mode. She ushers you into a beautiful, beautiful duplex. The nice thing is, with the amount of money you've got at your disposal and kind of your profile, much like a lot of sort of rich and famous people, a lot of doors open for you. And the chance to have the illustrious Iris Dunn living in this upscale neighborhood is a real feather in their cap, particularly with your additional notoriety of late. For a hot second, as you stand there kind of in the dusk, sort of early moonlight, you just remember how fucking nice it is to step back into your old world briefly. You've done a lot of murder. You've fought a bunch of monsters. You've communed with a demon a few times. For a hot second, it's just real nice to remember what it was like to just be kind of a rich, famous person.
Yeah.
Although admittedly, not unlike most homecomings, it feels very shallow based on everything else you've just been doing. Nevertheless,
doesn't have the same excitement.
No, not at all. And also it seems quaint by comparison. particularly after Elysium and seeing like, you know, famous rich people and powerful people from throughout the centuries, you know, flexing by buying expensive real estate seems somewhat quaint. In any case, Emily welcomes you in, it is gorgeous in here. It's super nice. She gives you a quick tour. Very sleek, very modern, similar to your previous loft condo. She kind of went with a minimalist design in order to just kind of, knowing how little you'd actually be here, just kind of a very functional, almost like a really nice Airbnb vibe. Like everything's just very functional and sleek. Also, she had to put all this together while Montreal was on lockdown after a major quote terrorist attack.
And it's got to be all replaceable stuff, because if shit goes down again.
That's kind of the idea. It's also all, you notice, very easy to clean. Like a lot of surfaces that are very, like there's no carpets to be seen. Emily is kind of giving you the tour. She's like, I made sure to get an extra large fridge so that you'd have plenty of room to store your beverages.
Snacks,
yes. Now, obviously, we haven't been able to install anything yet. Contractors aren't allowed to add anything to buildings right now because of, you know, the citywide lockdown, which, again, I'm very glad you survived. But soundproofing will be coming sometime next week, and we'll be working on creating a proper snack room One kind of in a pantry off of the kitchen and one in the basement for you. So that if you do need to keep any fresh snacks on hand, you'll be able to do so somewhat more easily.
That's amazing. Emily, you always think of everything.
Well, after we both turned into like spooky monster voice people, it just occurred to me that we might be kind of loud sometimes. So yeah. I thought some soundproofing. That's why I went with the detached.
And I feel like we're kind of leaning into this now.
Yeah, yeah. I have some thoughts on that, actually. And there's some stuff I should probably tell you about what that means for me. But we can get to that soon. Now, I understand, Iris, that you... your main goal right now is to determine the whereabouts of Iggy, which I know is contrary to our usual stay as far away from Iggy as possible deal.
Well, he seems to be the center of everything that keeps throwing wrenches in my plans.
Right, right. Yeah, so I've done some work on that. So we'll definitely get to that in a sec. And then we should talk about, what leaning in really means. Because I think there's some stuff you should know and some people you should meet. But first things first, let's talk about Iggy. At which point, your phone rings. Which is strange, because no one has your number.
Yeah. I answer it, I guess, or I give it to Emily. I give it to Emily to answer.
Sure. And she looks very confused because people should be calling her, not you.
Yeah, exactly.
She puts it on speaker and just using her one arm, she kind of holds it up, she does that dumb thing that everyone does when speaker phones are on, where you just kind of hold it
you hold in the middle
in a vicinity,
of you.
like you're a fucking Grecian statue holding up a like, little bowl. On the other end, you hear, hello. Hi. Miss Iris Dunn. Y'all there? I can hear a bit of an echo. My on speakerphone?
Yeah, you are.
All right. Are you Iris Dunn?
Who's asking?
All right. Look, I'll just save us a little bit of time here. I know it's your phone. So unless someone has stolen it, which will be a different conversation altogether, I'm just going to go ahead and assume that this is Iris Dunn. Would your assistant Emily be the other person in the room with you there?
Who are you?
Right. I'm sorry. You'll have to forgive my manners. Paranoia serves a gentleman such as myself rather well. Listen, Ms. Dunn, I'm happy to give you some answers on that, but I'm going to need to know right quick. Is Mr. Ridley Beef or Everett Fry there with you?
I don't see why that's relevant to you having a conversation with me.
Because, ma'am, I have some information about them for you that is not for their ears. So if they are there, I would kindly ask you to let me know, or there will be a rather serious ramifications, I'm afraid. At this point, Emily is like just shaking, like so mad. This is exact, like she hates, like the threats are one thing, but the fact that this is going directly to you is just driving her nuts.
No, they're not here.
All right. That's great. That's great. That's good to hear. All right. I'll cut right to it then. Ms. Dunn, I do apologize for the small amount of subterfuge on my part. My name is Marshall Cooper Board. And I am, you may have seen me on the news, and you can hear there's definitely like, if you're in the room with this guy, he would clearly be like rocking back and forth on his shoe, like in his boots, like very pleased with himself. Like it's one of those like, oh, you know, I'm just casually dropping that I'm famous.
Yeah, he sounds like a weasel.
I mean, you're not wrong. I am one of many people who has been tasked with tracking down the horrible monsters who have laid siege to our fair town. I mean, I guess it's more your fair town than mine. You may have guessed from my accent, I am not a native Quebecois, as I believe they say. Listen, I'm part of a joint task force that's up here doing some investigative work to root out the actual cause of this. Now, you've probably seen there's a bunch of organizations all around the world all taking credit for it. And pardon my French, man, but that's a load of bullshit. The monsters were, in fact, responsible for this, but not the kind you might think. Ms. Dunn, I have reason to believe that the men that you've recently become acquainted with Don't know if they're part of some artsy-fartsy project of yours or what, but the two gentlemen I have named, they are on a certain list that we're putting together of, well, there's no delicate way to put this, ma'am. We believe them to be legitimate monsters, you see. Tell me, Miss Dunn, do you believe in vampires?
What are you trying to tell me? I mean, I don't know who you are. You somehow find my phone number. You call me on a private number, being certain, like, incredibly suspicious and, like, withholding, and expect me to just, like, listen to some bullshit about vampires? Like, who the fuck are you?
Well, ma'am, I'm the person who found your unlisted phone number and the names of your associates, and I'm currently giving you the benefit of the doubt because I have been assured by several people that you are not involved in this. But in the off chance you are, I guarantee it is within your best interest to, shall we say, cooperate with the powers that be. I represent some very powerful people, and they have a vested interest in preventing these fanged monstrosities from wreaking any more havoc than they already have. So, Miss Dunn, to tell you what, it doesn't really matter whether you believe me or believe in vampires, because they sure as shit believe in you. And you hang around those two, you'll likely be food more than not. But, you know, if you come in, we could have a little conversation. We could keep you safe and help stomp these so-called kindred out. I know this term has a lot of negative connotations, but you asked, who am I to do this? Well, ma'am, I am the Fist of the Lord. I represent a group known as the Second Inquisition, and we got some shit to solve. Now, you can either contact me, come in and tell me what you know, or I'm afraid I'm going to head you to my list. And, well, you don't seem to be involved in any of the recent havoc. Let's just say we got a way to connect almost anyone to anything. It's one of the perks of being part of the government. Patriot Act and all that. Ain't it great?
Internally, I'm just like repeating, ooh, I'm going to eat this son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Like every fiber of my being is just.
Are you like mouthing this to Emily?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and she's just nodding and like pointing at the snack same
time,
room.
Yeah, and I, at the same time, I'm kind of trying to signal her to like trace his number or like do something to figure out who the fuck this guy is. I want to know. Because honestly, the only thing I want is to know more about him than he knows about me because I'm pissed off.
Emily is very awkwardly pushing buttons on the iPhone. There's no way to trace a call off an iPhone, but she's trying to help as best she can, so it seems like she's doing something. Ma'am, it would seem you are pushing some number keys there. That's not helpful. All right, well, listen, I'll tell you what. You have to think about that. If you want any more information, my boys are going to send some stuff along to you. Don't worry about giving us the address. I'm sure we'll figure it out. Once again, Miss Dunn, I really can't stress this enough. There are two sides to this war, one that's going to win, one that's going to end up with a stake through its heart. I implore you to choose the right one. Do you respond or do you let Emily shut it down?
I think I let Emily shut it down. I'm an important person. Emily should have been the one doing this anyway.
Yeah.
I think it makes us, like, if I'm the one to continue dealing with this, at least for me, it's more normal. It's more like human if my assistant is dealing with this sort of crazy, like, because honestly, in the real world, if I wasn't still a vampire, this would be like next level stalkery, crazy person bullshit that I would just give to Emily anyway.
Cool. Can you roll me a subterfuge and composure, please? We're going to see how well in the interactions you've had with the marshal you've managed to.
Sorry, subterfuge and.
Subterfuge and composure, please. Composure.
Three successes.
Okay. Yeah. So you've managed to hold your composure well enough that it could, you could conceivably just be a confused, angry celebrity, which is kind of exactly the play for this. Emily, nodding and just says, thank you so much for calling Marshall Board. We'll read your documents. I'll have Iris take a look over everything. But from now on, please come through me. She's a very busy person and doesn't have time to entertain every colorful story that comes through her phone. You can have, and she like just gives the address of like the suite she's been staying at for where to send things. She says, all right. You have yourself a lovely day. And then she hits end on the call and just mutters like, you fucking future snack. And then she takes the phone to the microwave and just tosses it in and zaps it. She's like, I'm so sorry about that. I'll get you a new phone and a new microwave as soon as possible. And she just hands you one of Ridley's burner phones. She's like, I feel like he has enough of these. so here you go. Having dealt with the marshal, Iris, where's your head at? I mean, obviously you want to know more about him than he knows about you.
Yeah. And despite how douchey and how much I want to dismiss him because he's an arrogant man who is clearly religious and kind of is against everything I am.
Yeah.
I still take it seriously because if he's this Inquisition thing sounds like exactly what just nearly killed all of us. So,
yeah. Can you roll me an insight and let's go with composure again.
That's two.
Two successes? Okay. Yeah. It's hard because you were full of Drac and Metathiax at the time. You vaguely remember his voice. And basically, like as he was talking, you just formed a very clear image in your head of what this guy looked like. And then you started to realize as the more you kind of fixated on it and with your two successes, you've actually seen this guy before. He was the guy leading the armored inquisitors out of the sort of like APV that crashed through the wall of Mayday Malone's. So
then how did he not recognize me Hulk out?
Because you were already Hulked out.
Okay.
And the lucky thing for you is what happens to you in that form isn't standard kindred stuff.
Mm.
Kindred aren't supposed to be able to do that, nor does it happen very often. There may be corners of the world where it occurs, but it would seem either A, he's trying to play you, or B, he didn't recognize you due to your monstrous form. It'd be easy if someone was like, that monster is Iris Dunn, to go, oh yeah, I see it. But if you don't have that part of the puzzle, I think it would be very hard to be like, yeah.
But he already seems suspicious of me, so it feels like it's just
he does. This is him luring me. This is, again, an open question. You don't have enough information on him to really be able to make that call.
Yeah.
But it also does seem to some extent to be a future Iris problem because you still have the orders from the prince to deal with. So you kind of log it. Emily says she'll start looking into it. When it comes to kind of blowhard, from the sounds of things like law enforcement / military types, that's really more of a Ridley Everett investigation than an Emily on Google. But she's going to see what she can scare up.
Okay.
Particularly because he's on the news. So the interesting piece about this guy is he's not operating from the shadows. He is very clearly out. A bit of a problem, but a problem for future. Now, Emily has scared up some information on Iggy. As you sort of tasked her with doing. Iggy Dunn has gone missing, which isn't something that's new to you. This is pretty standard for Iggy. Not it's not that he like goes off the grid or has any, like there's no intelligence associated with it. It's just he'll often like not have a phone and just not be anywhere for a while. However, she has managed to track down the apartment that he's been squatting in. So of her investigation, other than just sightings of him around town, she's been working with Dedrick, who has definitely seen him at a variety of clubs. Dedrick put out like, this guy is a bit of a creeper and not someone you necessarily want at a party. So if you see him, like, maybe send me a message so we can get the word out. Like hashtag, you know, Deadheads Unite. And it works really well because if there's anything anyone can get behind on social media, it's just a straight up like blame campaign. So there's a lot of video and photo evidence of Iggy, who clearly has been seen around, but he is currently missing.
Great. Love that for us.
Yeah, right. Just the best that Iggy. But again, I think I found some people who might be able to help. In the meantime, again, I've got the address and our Uber is standing by. Is there anything you'd want to do in your new home before you head to Iggy's apartment?
I probably shower and put on like not incognito clothes, but like casual stealth clothes, I guess. Sure. Things that are outside of the norm for me, and like glasses and a baseball cap, you know, like their Kardashian gear when they don't want to be.
So like leather jacket, baseball hat, like exactly. Kind of the Sarah Connor ponytail out the back of the hat, sunglasses. Yeah. All right. The most like inconspicuous look
exactly.
You can put together. Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
Like, oh, that looks like a celebrity who doesn't want to be noticed as a celebrity.
Yeah. It's Ben Affleck trying to get Dunkin' Donuts. And he's just like, please don't look at me.
Just don't.
Let me have this. I need it so much. Great. So that you take the ride over to Iggy's place. You arrive in sort of a seedier area of downtown Montreal. It's one of those parts that is slowly being gentrified, but still has a bunch of kind of like older clubs and sort of like late night. A lot of like, honestly, like you get a little bit nostalgic because there's a lot of like Mayday Malone style bars. Just like kind of rough pubs and that sort of thing.
Single tier.
RIP. TJ. TJ.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Greetings, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Magenta. You might know us from such hit podcasts as Madame Magenta, Sonus Mystica.
Horror Anthology Magenta Presents.
Or Season 3 of Mockery Manor.
We're everywhere.
And we're spreading faster than an STD in an old folks' home, because now we have a brand new podcast. Wham!
Wham! It's a fun acronym that stands for We Have a Movie.
Oh, it's not just an acronym, Bernard.
It's not?
It's a chat podcast where we invent smash hit Hollywood movies based on popular toys.
If you like the Barbie movie and you want to see similar treatments of your favourite childhood toys, I'll wager you'll like Wham! With episodes on Polly Pocket, Rubik's Cube, Game Boy, Strawberry Shortcake,
Furby, Connect Four, and lots of other nostalgia bait. But it's not just for adults who still like toys. It's a podcast for anyone who loves Hollywood tropes and comedy.
And quantum mechanics.
And BDSM.
Wham! Has something for everyone, but is still specifically about movies.
That's Wham! W-H-A-M. You know, like when Batman punches someone.
Yes.
Adam West. That Batman.
Exactly.
Not the Christopher Nolan one.
No.
Download it anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's what the world needs, another movie podcast.
Was that clear? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned quantum mechanics.
Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now, and more than 60 others, can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus.
Hi, friends. It's Ryan here, and I am excited to invite you to join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice Patreon. It's a great way for you to help our team keep creating shows that you love, and it's a cool opportunity for you to get neat things, too. At the $1 level, we have a Patreon-exclusive Discord, so you can chat with other listeners and our cast in spoiler and non-spoiler channels so anyone can tag in. At the $5 level, we offer ad-free feeds for a bunch of our shows, so you won't have to hear us advertising our Patreon anymore. At $15, you get to submit names for NPCs, places, and things that we have to use in the shows, and we also have a tips, tricks, and traps video where you can submit questions that our GMs and DMs, myself and Tom, will answer for you. And at $25, you can create your own NPC to join one of our active shows and get a special thank you at the end of every episode we produce. We've got a bunch of tiers where you can join, so please head on over to patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. patreon.com/dumdumdice. Please help support us, and we'll keep new episodes coming.
Hey friends, it's Ryan. That's right, real Ryan, not just the character I play in this show. And I'm here to invite you to help us make even more shows. Currently, we make more shows than I want to talk about. There are actually 8 different series that we have on an ongoing basis. Soon it's going to be 9, spoiler alert, but we need your assistance to be able to make that happen. You can join our Patreon, patreon.com/dumdumdice. You can get behind the scenes info, you can be a part of our Discord, you can add your own NPC, you can even produce a show if you want to dive all the way in there. So whatever you want to have happen, we can make happen at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Please come join your fellow snarfs. It's a snarfolution.
This being kind of a club district, though, to some extent, there is, of course, late night poutine shops all over the place. And it is no surprise to you that Iggy's, the apartment Iggy's been squatting in, is above a truly disgusting looking poutine shop. Called Elliot Trudeau's, and there's a rough caricature of Trudeau Senior eating poutine while flipping the bird. Here's the thing: it's probably delicious because it's a hole in the wall poutine place, or but it's legitimate poison.
Yeah, but only at 3 a.m. after a drunken night.
Yeah, wasted at 3 a.m. best poutine you'll ever eat. Any other time, biological hazard.
Yeah.
As you walk by the window, you just see like a big sweaty fella in a sleeveless shirt with a mask on, just like stirring a vat of meat.
Gravy.
Meat and gravy. Yeah, it's a true sight to be seen. But given that it is the evening, there are already people kind of waiting on their drinking padding, as it were. Can you go ahead and roll me a rouse check? We should have done this at the beginning of the session, but it's been a hot sec. Got to make sure you get some hungry dice if you need them.
I pass.
All right. No hunger for
you. I have one hunger.
So. Okay, great. So
unless I took a snack with the apartment, but I didn't.
There was no snacks to be had yet.
No snackies.
I mean, again, with the crackdown, it is very hard to be a vampire or like anyone in Montreal right now. Emily kind of leads you up a back set of stairs, and you're greeted by a landlord who just kind of comes stumbling out, and Emily kind of raises her hand in greeting and says, yes, Mr. Jerry. So good to finally meet you. Thank you so much for setting this all up. He just kind of nods gruffly and says, yeah, it's not a problem. Honestly, I'm just happy we could work something out. This has been a real problem for me. Hi, my name's Thomas. And he extends a hand to you.
Thomas or Jerry?
Well, my last name's Jerry. Oh. My parents really liked the cartoons. They named me Thomas. It's a real pain in the ass, but I think your assistant here was just being nice.
So you're Thomas Jerry?
I'm Thomas Jerry. Yeah. I chase myself around comically for everyone's amusement. And he does like a very exhausted pirouette, and then gives you like kind of disappointed jazz hands.
Well, Jerry, you're a gem.
Thank you. Thank you. Your brother is not. He's been a huge pain in my ass. So I was very happy when Emily over here said you'd be willing to settle up the rent he missed this month.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Great. All right. Well, if you could just, Venmo that to me or something. Anyway, here you go. Here's the place. It's yours now. You're renting it. So, in you go. And he opens the door, and the apartment just has that stale smell in the air of just like a place that has not been cleaned in an age. But looking around just at a glance, this is very much an Iggy Dunn situation, as you would remember them. There's just like fast food snacks everywhere. There's an ungodly amount of poutine boxes. As you would expect, there are also needles. He's clearly been shooting up. There's some evidence of those little packets of drac, like the little vials kicking around. All of them seem empty, but there are definitely a bunch around. Bunch of empty beer cans, soda cans. The place is a bit of a mess. That said, Thomas Jerry doesn't blink an eye. He just kind of lets you in and then fucks off after giving the keys to Emily. And Emily just kind of whistles and says, like, oh, he needs a me, huh?
Mm-hmm.
This is rough.
He doesn't deserve a you.
Thank you, ma'am. She just like kicks her heel up, like just softening the professional beat. What would you like to look for in Iggy's apartment?
Probably any scribbled down notes that he might have written about. Really anything would be helpful at this point. Names and probably just like evidence that he could be alive and that he hasn't like starved or gotten killed.
Cool. So can you roll me, please, an investigation and intelligence?
Three successes.
Three successes? Okay. So you begin to look around, and again, it's a bit of a mess. Emily starts helping, but you know that Iggy, being this disorganized, the odds of him, even if he left in a hurry and took important documents with him, odds are he left a bunch because nothing was organized enough to just grab a sheaf of papers and go. As a result, you do find a number of things. A lot of them are orders. You can tell that some of the older notes, if there is one thing he's good at, it's bookkeeping, from kind of money in, money out. On his drug operations, you can see that he transitioned about a month ago off of just pushing kind of regular street drugs and onto mostly drac. What's interesting though is his accounting changes when it shifts from heroin to and like other such substances to drac, in that there seems to be no record of him paying anyone for the drac. Mm. Whereas with the other drugs, he had to kind of pay suppliers and often protection and other things. The timeline syncs up roughly with when you arrived in Montreal. So whether that's a month or a couple months, I forget what our timelines look like right now, but it's been a while. But also this doesn't come as much of a surprise to you because Iggy tends to kind of show up wherever you are, knowing that if he needs a bailout or a handout, you're generally not willing, but around at least.
Yeah.
So that tracks, but is an interesting piece of the puzzle. The other thing you find is at some point he took a bunch of notes on stationery from the Orphans Biker Bar. So he's clearly got like a notepad. It's mm-hmm. like probably a server's pad from the bar. And it would seem that some of his early dealings were directly with them, that he was, in fact, buying his drugs from the bikers. So based on what you found so far, that seems kind of like the clearest clue as to his whereabouts. You also know that you remember when you were attacked, he like ran away from them. So whatever group had him likely wasn't like on side with him. Uh-huh. So it would be very, based on what you know of Iggy, it would be very likely that he would fuck off to that bar if he needed protection, because if he knows big tough guys, he's going to go hide with them. And he can't hide with you because he sold you out. Yeah. Is there anything else you would like to try and find from this apartment? Keeping in mind that now that you have access to it, you could also come back with Ridley and Everett and like really toss the place at a later date.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I have enough knowledge of doing this investigation or what I should be looking for to be looking for it specifically.
Totally.
I think I'm going to assume that he thinks it's still going to be there and he might show up. So just kind of probably tell Emily to put in some hidden cameras at some point if she can. And then make a plan to go to the bar.
Okay. Well, the good news is that the bar is where you, Ridley, and Everett need to go eventually anyway, in order to fulfill your mission for the prince. You know, as you should have known all along, as Iris would view the world, you know, your adventures here started with that bar, and of course they were going to loop back around eventually. The only difference is now you're all a bit more prepared than on day one of being vampires. So the evening is dragging on. I should point out that with Everett and Ridley, a number of the stuff happened over a span of days. So I think we're going to say the same thing is true here. You check this out over the next couple of days. So the evening's wearing on, and Emily is kind of like looking out the window as the smell of poutine wafts through the air. And she's like, okay, listen, so it sounds like all roads kind of point to that bar, right?
It sounds like the one place he might go to lay low.
Okay. Listen, you're probably going to need some muscle for this, right?
Yeah.
Because I know, from what I understand from talking to Mr. Beef, the Bear Boys are kind of out of commission right now. Is that right?
That is correct. I kind of ended up having to be the muscle, as you know, in the end. So.
Right. Okay. All right. I think there's some people you should meet. Hang on. Let me just call a car. Emily is uncharacteristically quiet as you drive through the streets of Montreal. She seems to kind of be nervously looking out the window, clutching her phone rather carefully. She answers kind of your questions in sort of a slightly nervous, still polite, sort of short clipped way. But you find yourself driving a little ways out of the city sort of into deeper woods. Eventually, the car stops, literally just on the side of the road, and, the driver turns around and, she says, "Ridley, are you sure just here?" And Emily's like, "Yep, this is perfect. Thank you. 5 stars. And of course, being a good Uber driver, 5 stars, like, great, done. Fantastic. Mission accomplished. With that, she gestures for you to get out of the car, and, you find yourself standing, on the side of the road late at night. In the middle of nowhere, sort of a cool breeze blowing, and a newish moon, up in the sky overhead. Emily just says, "Okay, I think it's time you met the people who saved me." And as she guides you kind of off the road into the woods, you see a bunch of shapes around a campfire. There's a couple of cars parked. There's some music drifting in on the air. And she kind of like takes your hand to guide you, because it's strange that you're wandering through the woods. And as you step out into the clearing, you see just a variety of people kind of having drinks, dancing, listening to music. A couple of people are smoking. They all seem to sniff the air as you approach and kind of turn. And with a smile, Emily says, "Iris, I want you to meet my pack. At which point, a shape lunges forward and knocks you to the ground. Woman kind of bares her teeth, pinning you to the ground with a hand on your throat. And as Emily literally just like screams, this woman leans down and says, "What the fuck are you doing with my mate?"
This episode of Blood and Syrup features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Megan Miles at Maggie Miles on Twitter, and storyteller Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra, and all of Dum Dums and Dice's logos are by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are What's Really Going On Right Now by Chase Allen Willis and Traffic by Kyle Angle, and all our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar. That's JAHZZAR. All of their music is available on freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We've also got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon of Darkness at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. Sleep well, children of the night.
Spooky.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord of Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, Taryn Hefner, Cade Peters, Richard Cranium, Christian Mendez, Anna Zed, Fire on Friendly, Logan, Great Dane, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.